Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we seem to find ourselves back at Maundy Thursday. Did you notice? The gospel appointed for today is also the heart of the gospel read on Maundy Thursday. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's a little bit on the nose. And of course, Maundy Thursday, for those of you who couldn't make it, don't know what that is, just in case, is the Thursday before Easter when we remember, we wash each other's feet and we remember this new commandment, this novum mandatum that Jesus gave to us, to love one another. Now, I don't know if you've spotted it yet, but there are two themes that I find that keep winding their way through my homilies, especially in the last few weeks. The first is that Jesus is actually alive. And the second is that our watchword is love. I keep returning to both of these themes, not because I don't have anything else interesting to say, but because these really are the bedrock of our faith and life together. These are the two things that make Christian faith so radical. And it is radical. And if we don't get these two things right, chances are we won't get much else right. Now, I imagine many of you have heard the author Annie Dillard's take on church. She asks, why do people in church seem like cheerful, brainless tourists on a packaged tour of the absolute? On the whole, I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions, she says. Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense. Or the waking God may draw us to where we can never return. Now, most people love quoting that crash helmets line. Annie Dillard was writing in 1982, and maybe her diagnosis was a bit more fair then than it is now. I think if one thing is different, we're all a little more worried in the church than we used to be. But perhaps not for the right reasons. I don't think our principal worry should be that the church might close or that young people will not come. Our principal worry should be about what happens when we realize that God is actually here, Jesus is actually alive, and that we are actually commanded to love one another. That should scare the bejesus out of us. Or maybe it should scare the bejesus into us. Because that is, in fact, the situation that we are in. I keep coming back to these two themes, that Jesus is actually alive and love, because they are the two pillars of this radical thing that we call church. When I was first moving to the diocese and looking around at how this diocese functioned, I noticed a lot of churches talking about being an inclusive church, a welcoming church, a church where everyone is welcome. And I think that is very good. But I also worried a little bit, because it doesn't mean much to say that if we don't know what we're saying. It doesn't mean much if we don't understand why we are inclusive and welcoming. Or it doesn't seem to mean much to welcome someone to a church if we don't know what we're welcoming people to. So let's look for a moment at the story of Peter from Acts 11. This is the story of baptizing Gentiles. Gentiles, people, how dare he? This is not done. That's like eating deviled eggs without the paprika. Or eating pineapple on pizzas. I know, okay, denominational differences. I get it, all right. Man. Back off of that one, I guess. But it wasn't so long ago that we were having a discussion in the Episcopal Church about whether women ought to be priests and bishops. It's still a live question in many churches whether we ought to consecrate same-sex unions. Peter knew the rules. Peter knew his scriptures. He said, well, I can't go baptize them. He had this dream, right? And this dream, all of these unclean foods, he knows the rules. All of these unclean foods in the scriptures, I'm not supposed to do that, Lord. I'm not going to eat that because that's unclean. And what does God say? What God has made clean, you must not call profane. So Peter listened. He saw the work of the Spirit, of Jesus who is actually alive, working in the hearts of those Gentiles, those people who are not the people who are supposed to know about these things. And he said, who was I that I could hinder God? God said, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. In other words, Peter, you best strap on your crash helmet. Lash yourself to the pew because it's about to go off. And Peter had to make a choice. He could have balked. He could have said, no, not me. I don't want to be the radical. Get me off this ride right now. I don't want to be a liberal. But that's not what he did. He said yes. He said yes to where God was leading, yes to what God was doing, yes to the people God loved, even though he didn't understand it. He said yes to love, yes to the living Christ. So he strapped on his crash helmet and said, giddy up. And friends, that's the choice that we have too. Are we willing to follow where Jesus is leading us? Because after all, this community called into existence by the triune God is not just our community. In fact, it's not really ours at all. It is the society of those who keep company with the living Christ. Jesus is not trapped in the pages of history or in the pages even of our scriptures. These point to the living Christ, but he is not trapped in them. And if we are willing to follow Jesus wherever he leads us, are we ready to keep company with a lot of people we might not choose to keep company with otherwise? Are we ready for, as Dillard says, the waking God to draw us to where we can never return? Maybe we'd be willing to a little bit more if we just knew where we were headed. Sure, we could be willing to be a little radical if we just knew where God is leading us. But we know where God is leading us, and if we need a reminder, let's listen to the promise. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who is seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." And when all things get made new, it can be scary. But the promise is there. We just need the courage to say yes and strap on those crash helmets. And let all of God's people say,
Amen.